Today we continue in the Word of God as we study the Sermon on the Mount. 我们看马太福音第六章第十节，我们继续来研究主耶稣在主导文给我们的教训。Today we look at the words in verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 今天我们要思考的那段经文就是愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上一样。但是我今天愿意看这段圣经跟第八节连带在一起看。第八节里面说，你们呢祷告的时候不要啰里啰嗦的，因为上帝在你祷告之前已经知道你需要的是什么。我们这两段经文呢就连带在一起来看。我们要知道上帝的旨意，关于祷告的旨意是什么。既然上帝已经知道我们的需要，那么我们祷告的需要是什么，何必祷告？那么根本来说，为什么我们需要祷告？上帝为什么要我们来祷告？他是不是需要我们的祷告？这种问题呢，我们今天一起来考虑一下，并且问一下上帝根本对于祷告，对于祷告的旨意是什么。所以今天呢，我们继续来研究这些个问题，因为这些问题直接影响到我们祷告的生活。就是说我们祷告的时候根本不知道这祷告需要不需要，好像是白费精神一样。上帝既然已经知道我的需要，那么我在这祷告那起什么作用？他这里明明讲他知道我们需要什么，上帝既然是神，他当然知道，那么我祷告不祷告那么 有什么重要性？有什么需要？有什么必要？这些个问题呢，我们再一起要研究。 Now, regarding the question, first, whether God needs our prayers, what do you think? Do you think God needs our prayers? In what way would he need our prayers if he does need our prayers at all? Now, I was reading a book on prayer not so long ago, and in it was quoted the statement of a certain theologian,who says this. He says, it is not that God needs our prayers, but that God wants our prayers. Now, what exactly is being said there? God doesn't need our prayers, but he wants our prayers. The more I ponder that statement, the less profound I find that statement to be, and the less meaningful that statement appears to me. To say that God doesn't need our prayers,but that he wants our prayers, what exactly are we to understand by this? Are we to understand it somewhat like this? We need food, but we don't actually need the vegetable to go with the food. I mean, we don't need to have soy sauce inside. We don't need to have salt or sugar or vinegar and the like. It makes the food taste nicer. But do you need those things?Couldn't you live very well? Couldn't you survive very well without all of those things? The flavoring agents? Now, when you say we don't need a thing, but we want it, it seems to me that it's rather like talking about the icing on the cake. And that's, we can have the cake, but we don't really need the icing. Now, I find this kind of a statement exceedingly unsatisfactory. To say thatGod wants our prayers, but he doesn't need it. It's like saying, well, he doesn't need the icing on the cake. He may want the cake, but he can do very well without the rest of it. So that whether we pray or not seems to be a matter of indifference to God. It's rather nice to have it, but it doesn't very matter whether we pray or not. It doesn't matter very much. Now, this kind of statement is objectionable because it's not scriptural.And I think it's not surprising to you by now that theologians are very good at making non-scriptural statements. And I don't suppose maybe the theologian meant it in this way, but whatever way he meant it, that's all there is of his statement that we have. 我们祷告，上帝到底需要不需要我们的祷告呢？那么我前一段时期呢，看一本书关于祷告的，这里面呢说为什么需要祷告呢？上帝是不是需要我们来祷告呢？上帝是不是需要我们的祷告？那这里面就引一句话，就是某一个神学家讲的一句话，他讲这句话就是说，上帝呢不需要我们的祷告，但是喜欢得到我们的祷告。那我就想来想去想这句话呢，越想越没有意思。到底这句话的意思是什么呢？说上帝不需要我们的祷告，但是欢喜得到我们的祷告。这好比说呢，我吃饭呢不需要一定有菜，只要有饭吃就可以了，菜有没有呢不是一定需要的。或者我就算吃菜呢，也不需要一定有这个里面放盐放糖放醋之类，不需要调节它里面的味道，因为这个是我喜欢有的，但是不需要有的。那这样来说，我们的祷告好像是对上帝来讲，就好像说他并不需要，但是好像吃一粒糖啊，你吃糖不是一定需要的，但是觉得蛮好的，如果可以吃到也不错啊，没有也不要紧了，但是可以吃到也不错。那么我们的祷告可有可无，上帝可以得到也不错，得不到也无所谓了。那这样的想法呢，是不是合乎圣经的讲法呢？上帝如果说我们不需要祷告了，这样讲来好像我们祷告给上帝，比如说在他的生活上加了一点糖一点醋啊，那么如果他得不到这个也无所谓。那这是不是圣经里面的教训？ When we look at and examine this teaching, this statement, I think it represents the thinking of so many Christians, and that's why I'm quoting it. I think that so many Christians really do feel that prayer is not very essential as far as God is concerned, that if we didn't pray, God wouldn't have missed anything anyway, nothing of any importance anyway.It's like the extra sweet, that if you got it, it's fine. If you didn't get it, it doesn't really matter. Now, is this how we should regard prayer? And I find that what this theologian has said perhaps represents not what the Bible says, but perhaps represents what the Christian thinks. Because if we felt that God really wanted, and in the sense of really needed our prayers, in some special sense of need,then we would see to it that he got the prayers that he so required of us. But seeing that God doesn't really need our prayers, then we feel that God doesn't miss anything if we didn't pray. Isn't that how you feel? Well, surely if you didn't pray, God didn't miss anything. It doesn't matter. He's not going to miss your prayer. My prayer is so weak and feeble and disorganized and lacking in grammatical niceties.I mean, it's not like an essay by Milton or anybody like this. So, I mean, if Milton didn't offer up his prayer, his beautiful statements that he makes, God might miss it. But my prayers, what difference does it make to God? Now, if you think like this, then clearly you have really no incentive to pray. And that's why I want to get at the root of this question.If God is not going to miss my prayers, then it doesn't really matter whether I pray or not. Isn't that what you think? And isn't that what that theologian has said? Well, I want to show you that both this statement of the theologian and our thinking is false. It matters very much to God whether we pray or not. And I'd like that realization to sink deep into our minds. It matters to God. He does miss our prayer.It's not just a question of having an extra sweet, one more or one less. It doesn't matter. It matters very much to God whether we pray. And this is the point I'd like you to deeply bear in mind. 我们对于这个问题的考虑的重要性是什么呢？就是因为这神学家所讲的这句话跟一般基督徒所想的十分相称。我们就觉得呢，上帝并不需要我们的祷告，我们祷告不祷告对上帝来说是无所谓。好比说你得到一粒糖，那个糖很好吃，那么没有得到也无所谓，我反正对糖也不那么欢喜， 你可以吃我也不要紧，不可以吃也不要紧。两方面就对我来说都没有什么损失。那么如果我们对祷告有这种观念的话，那么我们根本不觉得有祷告的需要，因为我们觉得我今天没有祷告，上帝也不在乎，反正我这个祷告也并不漂亮，我的句子也不好，我的祷告讲的也讲的不太通啊，所以讲的也有神学家祷告，或者讲的每一段那个每一句都讲的非常准确，我讲的可能还是不如不讲就好。那我们如果有这样的思想的话，那么当然我们就对祷告来说没有一个觉得并不觉得有什么必要，反正上帝也不会感觉到他缺少了一些什么。这个合乎圣经的教训呢，我们要看神的话语来解答。Now when we look at this saying, I want to show it to be false in the light of scriptural teaching. Because I want to show it false first. What do we mean by need? When we say that God does not need it, what exactly do we mean by need? If we mean by need that God doesn't need our prayers, we mean that God depends for his existence upon our prayers, then clearly he doesn't need our prayers in that particular sense. But that is not the only sense of the word need. You see, we need a lot more than just appears for the physical or survival in any sense of that word. Let's ask the question, does a husband need the love of his wife? Does the wife need the love of her husband? Now, if you mean in the sense whether she or he would survive physically without that love, obviously he doesn't or she doesn't need that love. I mean, if your husband stopped loving you or if he died and he could no more love you, you are not going to die tomorrow. Or if your wife died or she ceased loving you because of that or for any other reason, you are not going to die tomorrow either. Physically, you will continue to survive. At least in most cases, you will. So in that sense, for physical survival, you don't need that love. Do the parents need the love of the children? Do the children need the love of the parents? There are parents who look after their children without loving them. Do the parents need that love? Many children are brought up in homes with no love. Do the children need that love? Well, they don't need that love if we are talking in terms of physical survival. So long as they have food, they can exist. But is life mere existence? So to speak about needs, we have first to define what we mean by need. It is wrong of any theologian or anybody else to say that God does not need our prayers, because that kind of a statement is meaningless unless you have defined need. The point here is this. Just as I very much need the love of others, in the sense not that I cannot survive physically without it, but that life would not be life without that kind of love, then I need love in a very real sense. I need love. Everybody needs love. Everybody requires love in order not merely to survive physically, but to make life rich and meaningful and purposeful. Life is not just eating and sleeping. The person locked up in solitary confinement in a jail also gets a certain amount of food to keep him alive. But is being confined in solitary confinement life? Of course not. Life is not just having bread and water. In that sense, human beings need much more than just food and clothing. Man does not live by bread alone, the scripture told us. We need more than that. Now, if this is so, does not the scripture make it clear to us that God loves us and that he wants our love? But when we say wants our love, why should he want it if he had no need for it? Why should I want love from anybody if I don't really need it? Is not even the word want needing to be defined? There are things that we want because we need them. And what we don't desperately need, we don't really want. We don't really feel an inclination to have. I don't need that extra sweet, so I don't really want it. If you give it to me, I'll take it. If you don't give it to me, I don't mind, because I don't really want it. Why don't I really want it? Because I don't really see a need for it. I have no particular need for that sweet. Now you can see that when we speak in spiritual things, we have to be very careful of our language, to define our words clearly and fully. Now in a very real sense, the scripture tells us that God wants our love and he needs our prayer, not because his existence depends upon it, any more than my existence depends on my wife's love for me. But that does not mean that because I can still survive without that love, that I don't really need that love. That's not correct. Any more than a child can live on bread and water, he doesn't need his parents to love him to survive physically. But in a very real sense, he needs that love. He needs that love. And whether we can understand it or not, the scripture tells us that God wants and needs our love in that sense that I have defined. In the same sense as the Son needs the Father's love and the Father needs the Son's love. That is maybe a revolutionary thought to us, that God needs anything at all. But if he didn't need anything at all, does he created us just for the fun of it? Just that he thinks it's great fun to have us around? Now, I suspect that in many Christians' minds, they think exactly like that. God didn't need us. Why does he want us? But he created us because, well, maybe it's good fun to create some more beings around. After all, it's great fun. If you think of God in those terms, clearly you don't see the point why he created anything at all. He is perfectly self-sufficient in himself. Why create anything? Just for the fun of? Just because it happens to be that he likes to create? In this case, of course, whether we exist or not doesn't really matter. It just happens to be that God has had some fun creating us. Now, if that's all there is to it, then I don't find that teaching in Scripture. And as we will press on, we're going to see what we mean. Whether it matters to God whether we exist or not, whether it matters to God whether we love him or not, whether it matters to God whether we pray or not, that is the question.
所以我们刚才说上帝需要不需要我们的祷告，我们不能就这样向这个神学家来回答说上帝不需要，但是他欢喜得到我们的祷告，因为说欢喜跟需要这两个字都需要仔细来分析一下。你说上帝需要不需要我的祷告？如果你说上帝会不会存在，如果没有得到我的祷告的话，那当然他会存在。在这个。 在这一方面来讲，存在不存在的问题，可以说上帝不需要我们的祷告。但是需要这个字不限在这一方面，就是说，你说一个妻子需要不需要她的丈夫的爱呢？一个丈夫需要不需要他的太太的爱呢？子女需要不需要父母的爱？父母需要不需要子女的爱？ 如果您说他们会不会活下去，如果得不到这个爱，那当然他们不需要这个爱，因为他们当然可以活下去。如果你的丈夫过世的话，你不见得你自己明天就死掉，因为得不到他的爱，你自己继续还活下去，当然带着伤心，但是你还能够活下去。在这一方面来说，你得不到他的爱，你还是可以活下去。在这一方面，你不需要他的爱来得到你肉体上的生存。 但是需要并不是单单有这么一个意思，因为肉体的生存不是单单需要这个定义里面完全就遮盖掉了，完全就包裹在里面。就是说，很多父母并不是分爱他们的孩子，觉得孩子们讨厌，生了就生了，算了，那么供应他们的饮食衣食就算了。很多孩子和很多家庭里面长大，得不到父母的爱。 但是他们有没有死掉？没有死掉，他们还是活着。但是你说啊，那既然是如此，那么他根本证明不需要父母的爱，因为他没有父母的爱，他还可以长大，还可以成人嘛。但是你就说这样，他们就不需要爱他们了，就算了，他们是不需要爱他们还没有问题。人不单单是靠饮食衣食来活，因为生命不单单是存在的问题。 你把一个人放在监牢里面，把他锁起来，给他面包，给他水吃，他还能够活，他不会死，但是那个是不是叫做生命呢？所以呢，你说他需要不需要与外面跟外面人有交通，需要不需要别人的爱？他当然需要，但是虽然你不给他，他还是肉体上能够生存下去是没有问题的。同样来说，上帝需要不需要我们的祷告？如果说他生存有没有问题，那当然没有问题，得不到我的祷告也不要紧。但并不是说因此我们的祷告对他来说根本不重要，所以我们祷告不祷告可有可无，无所谓。那么他根本，我们可以问，如果上帝根本没有什么需要的话，那么他创造我们来干什么呢？是不是他事情没有事情做，坐在天上好像两个手指头根本不知道用时间用到哪里去，所以在那儿说，哎，算了算了，我坐在这儿太闷了，所以我来创造一些个人来玩玩吧。我恐怕很多人呢，对创造，在上帝的创造就有这种感想，就觉得人，上帝根本不需要人嘛，他根本在他自己里面所有的已经有了，那么现在呢，既然没有事情做呢，就创造人来玩一下，解闷啊，解闷一下。所以如果我们对上帝的创造有这种感觉的话，那当然我们就觉得好像我们这很可怜了，就好像等于一些上帝的玩具一样啊，给上帝来觉得好了，我们在这儿好像给他高兴一下啊。那么我们存在不存在，在上帝来说根本无所谓。那么这种思想是很普遍，所以我们祷告不祷告也无所谓，有我没有我都无所谓，在上帝根本不需要我嘛。好像我们并且说这句话对上帝非常荣耀，上帝不需要我，因为他是上帝，那他创造我来干什么？哎，更不需要你了吧，反正他因为欢喜创造你了，就创造你而已。那这种解答就根本是不是合乎圣经呢？如果是这样的话，那么我祷告不祷告，就会总结来说又是不要紧了，反正有我没有我都不要紧，根本祷告不祷告更不用讲了。那么如果我们对祷告有这种感觉，那么我们连整个基督徒的生活都觉得没有意思，反正我在这不过是等于人家家里养个狗一样，有狗没有狗不要紧，有个狗呢也好，有时候也讨厌，但是有时候也蛮好玩的，没有，就是你不要它的时候，你拿到医生去给它打一针就算了，不要它了。如果上帝对我们的看法就是这样的话，那么我们做基督徒根本生存的意思、生活的意思都非常非常淡，是不是？但是圣经里面跟我们讲，是不是这样的？是不是这个神学家跟我们讲，祷告不是必要的，上帝不一定需要你的祷告，但是他欢喜得到你的祷告，这句话多糟糕。我们看到呢，在圣经里面并没有这种意思，圣经跟我们讲啊，我们跟上帝的关系就像父子的关系啊，跟儿女跟父亲的关系，这样来说儿女需要上帝的爱啊，上帝也需要我们的爱。我也敢根据圣经来说，他需要我们的爱，他要我们的爱，不是有一粒糖没有一粒糖的问题。 So the question is this, does our prayer matter to God? Does it matter to God whether we love him or not? Are we then just created because God having nothing to do in heaven?Decided that since it's very boring sitting there, nothing to do, he decided to create some human beings and enjoy himself, have a bit of fun. Because he didn't really need us any more than if we had a dog at home. We don't really need that dog, but we have it there for fun. Is this the concept of man and that we should have on the basis of God's word? That after all, it doesn't matter whether even we exist or not, let alone whether we prayed or not.Now I want to tell you on the basis of scripture, and I want all pious statements aside, I am not interested in any kind of pious statements which said God is perfect in himself, he doesn't need anybody. Of course we don't need anybody. I can live without anybody. I can go out there and live on bread and water. In that sense, we don't need anybody either. Why do you need me? Why do we need each other?
But to think in this kind of way is to miss the whole point.
We do not glorify God by saying this kind of thing whatsoever. In fact, we have only degraded God. It is not so glorious to be able to say that God really doesn't need anything or anybody, and therefore the only reason we can think of why he created us was just for the sheer fun of it, since he doesn't really need us at all. There is a definite sense in which God needs us. And I'm not afraid to say this on the basis of God's word, because the Bible tells us that it matters to God. You see, if he didn't need us, it doesn't matter to him whether we pray or don't pray, isn't it? If he doesn't need us, what does it matter if we pray or don't pray? What does it matter to him if we love him or don't love him? He doesn't need us anyway. He has no loss. If I don't pray, he has lost nothing. If I don't love him, he has lost nothing. So why should it matter to him whether we prayed or not? The Bible tells us that it matters to him very, very much. Not for his survival, not that his existence depends on it, but that it matters to him because God is in his nature love. And love does not make fun of other people. It doesn't make fools of other people. Love does not say to others, well, I don't really need you. You don't matter to me. Love cares, and love is concerned about others. And therefore, that concern means that you matter to God. It is in the nature of God that we matter to him. Now, that is something that we need to take some thinking about. And when we deeply realize that we do matter to God, as God said to Israel, he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. This inside, the eyeball, is called the apple of the eye. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. And you know how sensitive the apple of the eye is. That means to say, you matter to me so much that if anyone hurts you in the slightest, it's like touching the inside of my eye. I am concerned about this. You see, we are not just toys that God wants to play around with. We are very precious to God. We matter as much to him as the apple of our eye matters to us. That is the biblical teaching. Whether we can understand it or not, doesn't matter. What matters is that God reveals to us how much he cares for us, how much we matter to him. Now, if Israel, for example, if human beings didn't matter to God, what difference does it make? Why should God get angry if Israel doesn't listen to him? You say, okay, who cares? I'll sweep you all into the sea. Be done with it. Finish. Wipe them all out. Wipe the slate clean. Now, human beings could do that, yes. I'm not surprised if human beings would do that. As you all are a nuisance to me, you are as much trouble to me as bedbugs. I just pour boiling water over you and be done with it. Finish. Wipe them all out. That's human thinking. That's how the Nazis thought. The Jews are a pestilence in the world, so we put them all in the gas chambers. That is very much how human beings think. You don't matter to me. You're a nuisance to me, so I'm going to wipe you all out. Sometimes we wonder why God didn't wipe men out. In fact, I've been often asked the question, when human beings sin, why didn't God just wipe them out? I said, isn't that typical? That's how human beings think. They offend you, they annoy you, so you just wipe them out. Thanks be to God, God isn't like that. Remember what we said last week? Hallowed be thy name. God is holy. He is different from any human being. He doesn't think as we do. As Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As my thoughts are high above your thoughts, as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. Completely different. Don't try to reason, as I said and warned you last week, from human thinking to God's thinking, because you're going to draw the wrong conclusion. And that's exactly what this theologian did. He thinks, well, God doesn't need man, so whether we pray it or not, doesn't mean he wants it. I don't know why he wants it, since he doesn't need it anyway. It's like that extra sweet that makes my mouth feel better. No. The scriptural teaching is not like this, brothers and sisters. Bear deeply in mind this point from this day forth, that whether we pray or not matters to God, because we matter to him, and we matter to him because he loves us. Why he loves us, I don't understand. But Bible tells us that it is in the nature of God
God, as to his very nature, is love.
I don't understand it because my nature is not love. But his nature is love. And I know that one day when he changes my nature completely into his nature, I will understand.
I shared the other day on Friday the fact that human nature is such that they don't really want. We don't really care about other people. As I was talking with my dear friend, the physicist that I mentioned to some of you before, he shared with me once, he said, my problem in the Christian life is I can't feel any sense of concern for other people. But thanks be to God, God is changing him. And this last letter that I received from him showed a complete difference of attitude. His concern for others really astonished me. This was the same person who said to me a few years ago, I don't feel any concern for other people. But God has been changing him. And now he begins to have a concern for other people that really astonishes me. You see, God changes us. One day, we are going to fully understand why God loves us. Right now, we don't fully understand. Because we don't see anything very lovely about human beings, including ourselves. Why should anybody love me? That is a mystery. It's a mystery. You don't understand it. I don't see anything very lovely about me. I don't see anything lovely about others. But God loves us. And one day when we are changed, we will understand.
So let us be extremely clear about the reality of God's concern for us, that we do matter to God. And because we matter to God, it matters to him whether we pray or not. If you love a person, you want to hear from that person. You long for a letter to come. You want a telephone call to come. Right, you don't get that letter. You're chewing all your nails, wondering why, what's the matter? Is the post office broken down? Has he hurt his hand? Has he hurt himself or has she hurt himself or herself? And so you are worrying that it matters to you. And so in the same way, it matters to God whether we pray or not. Try and get this into your mind, no matter how hard you find it to understand, because your character and my character is not yet like God. But help us, may God help us to understand. It matters to him because he loves us. And he loves us to the extent in which he was prepared to lay down his life for us. If you want proof that he cares about us, just think about that. He laid down his life for us. You find that hard to understand? Sure. Paul says, who can understand the love of God that he would do something like that for us? We would hardly die for a righteous man, let alone for a sinner. But that's how God's nature is. We must get a completely different concept of God's nature. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is helping us to have. But let us press on to another question. And it is this. We've just seeing that God, in that verse, in verse 8, already knows our needs. Okay, you say, granted that we matter to God. Granted that he wants to love us and that he does love us and that we matter very much to him. But being God, he already knows what we need, you see. Why should I pray? Okay, I accept that you say that I matter to God. I marvel about this, I appreciate this, I really thank God for this, that I matter to him. But seeing that he already knows what I need, what does it matter if I pray or not? He already knows before I open my mouth. The Bible says before even the words were formed on your lips, he knows what your need is. Doesn't it make it unnecessary for me to talk? Now here we need to answer in two ways. First of this, the question is not whether he knows, but whether we know what we need. You see, the point is not whether God knows what we need. The question is whether we know what we need. And half the time it's we who don't know what we need. And it is essential to God that we come to realize what we need. The question then, in this sense, is this. When a man is drowning, the point is not whether it is important for the people on the shore to hear him calling. The question is whether it's important to himself whether he calls or not. Now, if he doesn't cry out, say, help, I am drowning,
The people didn't hear him call. Now, does it matter to the person on the shore whether he heard him or not? It doesn't matter, because I mean, it's no skin of his nose. He is not drowning. So whether you call or not, a person on the shore doesn't lose anything. Now, if you are drowning, it's not that person needs to hear your calls. You need that he should hear your call. Do you see the point? That's what the important thing is. So here the question is this. First, you have got to realize your own need. When we are being lost, the point is not whether God knows whether we are lost. The point is whether we know we are being lost. This is something that is very important. But now, if certainly, for the human point of view, that's where the illustration ceases. The illustration means that the man on the shore got to know whether you are being lost, so that he can come and help you. God already knows that. But the question here is this. Do you know what your need is? Now, not until you are actually sinking do you realize, I am in need of salvation. I am in need for someone to help me. So the first point to bear in mind is this. Though God may know, he must wait till you know whether you need something or not, whether you need salvation or not. And we're going to see why this is so. You see, it follows in this way, that whether we know something or not is going to make a difference to us. And I hope I can put this across clearly enough and simply enough that everyone can follow. You see, first of all, unless we know our own need, we are not prepared to do anything about it, such as crying out for help that I've just mentioned. You've got first to know your own need, otherwise you wouldn't do anything about it. But the second point is this. Though you may know your need and want to do something about it, it does not necessarily follow that you will call on God to meet that need. You may just try, for example, though you are sinking in the water, you may just beat your hands, bash around in the water and hope for the best. You don't yell for help at all. I've shared with some of you, it's so curious in my case, that many years ago when I first went to Switzerland as a little boy, when my father went to the United Nations in Geneva, I went to Switzerland and stayed there for about a year. Now, one day I was in a hotel, and I looked out of the window and I saw this beautiful swimming pool. I thought, oh, so beautiful. And I saw some grown-ups and some young boys about my age swimming in there. So I said to my mother, I said, I'd like to go to the swimming pool. She said, but you don't know how to swim. I said, well, it doesn't matter. I can still go and play in the water. She said, okay, if you want to go to the swimming pool, you go. So I went to the swimming pool. And there I stood by the pool, looking around. And then I saw a little boy there, just about my age, my size, a Swiss boy, and he jumped into the water and he paddled across there. I said, that's too easy. Who can't do that? Ridiculous. All you do is jump in the water and you move your two hands. I mean, I know how to move my hands. I also know how to jump. It's quite simple. So there I go, and I jump, dive into the water. I start going down. Hey, something's gone wrong here. And what was going to be a nice, easy stroke like this fellow, it turned into a wild, smashing job. And you see, to make things worse is this. Having never been to a swimming pool, I didn't know there was a deep end and a shallow end. And of all things, of course, I had dived in at the deep end. So by now you can imagine that there was a terrific splash and beating and smashing around in the water. And nobody came to my help because, of course, I had jumped in at the deep end and everybody thought I must be a swimmer, you see, who had jumped in at the deep end, and that this smashing up of the water was just like most boys do. They do this foolish things and just enjoying themselves, smashing the water up. So all that happened was everybody was looking very amusedly at me while I was smashing for my trying to save my life in the water. You see, the point was this. Up to then, I didn't know there was any need for me to learn to swim. I thought, I mean, who needs to learn to swim? I mean, anybody knows how to move their hands, jump in there. It's simple. You don't need to waste time going to learn to swim. If that's all there is to swimming, that's easy. And not until I began to sink did it dawn on me I had the needs, a need to learn to swim, that it wasn't as simple as it looked. You see, I didn't know my needs. And it had to go through this experience to cause me to realize my needs. If I had not dived in that day, if somebody said, do you know how to swim? I said, sure, it's simple. I saw that boy jump in, he just dived in there, moved his two hands, I can do that. Sure, I know how to swim. But wait till I tried it, then I discovered my real need. Now the question then is not whether God knows my needs. My mother knew my need, but I didn't know my need. She told me, you don't know how to swim, but I didn't believe it. I said, sure, I know, this is simple. You see, so she knew my need, but I didn't know my need. Now here is the first thing then, that before somebody can be helped, he has got to know his own need. If he is going to be properly helped, he must be brought to realize his need. But once I know my own needs, I may not call on God to help any more than I didn't call out for help at all. In fact, I couldn't very well call out for help. The water was pouring into my mouth. But nobody came to my help, and I didn't jump or make any attempt to scream out for help. I still battled on until finally I grabbed, very exhaustedly, the side of the pool and hung on. I had managed somehow to get onto the side of the pool. Now, in those cases, we can still manage somehow to save ourselves. But you see here then, once I know my needs, I may not turn to God for my help. And God is going to wait, because if we think we can do something for ourselves, we are not going to need God to do it for us. So there are two things we need to know in this connection. First, whether we know our needs, and secondly, whether we will turn to God to meet that need, or whether we will turn to ourselves to try and solve the problem. Now, in many things, we can solve the problem ourselves. But if so, then we don't need God, of course. So the question is whether we need God and we realize our need for God. And that is essential in prayer. If there is something I can do myself, what's the point of my calling on God to do it for me? That is clear.
所以为什么我们需要祷告呢？既然上帝已经知道我的需要，那么我祷告不祷告不是根本无所谓。我们可以说好了，我知道，我接受到你刚才所说的，上帝是爱我们，上帝关心到我们，我们不是上帝一个玩具而已，我们对上帝是非常宝贝的。但是这里已经讲的，我接受我们是对上帝来说是宝贝的。 但是既然他是上帝，他也已经知道我的需要，那么我祷告不祷告也是无所谓的一件事情。但是这个不是这个问题怎么样解答呢？这个问题的解答在这里，问题不是说上帝知道不知道我的需要，问题是我知道不知道我的需要。如果我知道，第一步很多人就根本不知道他的需要，因此他也不会到上帝的面前来。 或者他已经知道他的需要，但是他不一定来请求上帝解答他的问题，他可能想自己想办法自己救自己了。就好比我刚才引的例子，就是我在小的时候，十一二岁的时候，我到瑞士去，那么从旅馆的这个窗口望下去呢，我看到有个游泳池，那么我从来没有到过游泳池，上海我没有见过游泳池，所以呢。 我就到游泳池的时候，我跟母亲说我要去游泳。她说你不会游泳啊？那现在她知道我不会游泳，但是我不知道我不会游泳，我不相信我不会游泳。所以我到了游泳池的时候，我看见那里一个小孩子跟我差不多年纪，差不多大小，他就一跳跳进水，像鱼一样，就很容易的这样，两手慢慢的这个摇动啊，就。 游到对面去了，哈！我说这个随不会，太简单了。你说跳我也会跳，两个手这样动我也会动，那也太简单了。还说我不会游泳，哼！我就胖一些跳到水里面去，嘿，糟糕了，跳进去那个水，两个手动起来还不行。 怎么往不往前进，往下走，往下沉下去，真找个糟糕。结果不是两手慢慢动，两手乱打一阵，啊，打的这个水东飞西飞这样，但是也没有人来救我。所以第一个问题呢，是我虽然别人知道我的需要，我自己不知道我的需要，除非我经过这次经验，我不会知道我的需要。但是就算我知道我的需要，我也不一定请求别人来帮我。